going here and thinking about you went to Romania with all your children and now you're going back there this time with none of your children. And I'm sure that it's a challenging thing for you. And so if I could just pastor you and then even pastor FBC, if you remember what Jesus had said, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake, he will receive 100-fold. And so I know you know that. And so, but know it even more. And First Baptists know that. When you let it go for the cause of Christ, you will receive 100 times more. And so let that be an encouragement to us. So let's pray and let's prepare to hear God's word today. God in heaven, help us now. We know we need you. We know we need your word. So bless us. Help me speak clearly and help my friends receive God in faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Last week we re-entered Colossians chapter 3 and we began learning what it actually looks like to walk in Christ Jesus. And we remarkably saw that walking in Christ is really principally relational. If you are a follower of Jesus, that makes you a member, one of many, in the body of Christ. You are a brother or a sister to many other brothers and sisters. You are part of a community of people. And so when we walk well then, when we walk in the power and the grace of God, that means that we love each other well in that community, in that relational connection. Now, if you've been here at FBC for any length of time, you have noticed something about your brothers and sisters in the Lord. You've noticed, dare I say it, that sometimes they can be difficult. Difficult to live with. You know, I remember being 14 years old. My older brother was about 18. My little sister was around 12. Throw a father and a mother into that mix, and you can imagine what our home was like, just like your home is like, right? One of us played our music too loud. Another spent too much time talking on the phone. Someone spent way too long in the bathroom. Another one would always selfishly grab the last piece of pizza. Someone would leave their dirty socks right in the middle of the living room. And another would frequently break curfew. I'm not going to tell you which one I was. You can maybe guess. Learning to live in harmony with one another can be difficult when you put together a group of people with all kinds of differences. And the body of Christ is a lot like that. Many brothers and sisters learning to live with one another. And your brothers and sisters in Christ are difficult to live with for two reasons. Number one, they're different from you. And number two, they sin against you. They're different from you, and they are sinners. Did you notice that your fellow Christ seekers are different than you? Some of them like the worship music rocking. Others like it mellow and traditional. Some like to sit up close. Others like to sit in the back. Some can't hear very well, and we know that because they keep turning their hearing aids up. Others have children who fuss right when someone begins to pray. Some show up to meetings late. Others forget that they're supposed to serve in the nursery. Some bring strange dishes to potlucks. Some cut in line. Some are newer in the faith, meaning they've got a lot to learn. Others think they've got it all together, which means they have a whole lot to learn. Your brothers and sisters in Christ are different. FBC is filled with people different than us. Well, to live in harmony then, something needs to happen. Either you need to change or I need to change. Now, which one do you think we would prefer happen? You. I'd like you to change and I'd like to stay the same. And to top that, all of these brothers and sisters who are different from you are also sinners, which makes it even more difficult. And we'll talk about that next week. Paul addresses us in that area. And so what are we to do in a community of faith filled with difficult and different people, different perspectives, different preferences, different styles, different personality types. These differences alone can create plenty of problems, not even including the sin part. And so what should we do? How should we live together? Well, if you're interested in learning the answer to that question, take your Bibles and turn to Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, of course, take the Bible in front of you and turn to Colossians 3. We're going to read verses 12 through 17. Like I'd mentioned last week, we're going to be staying in this paragraph for a number of weeks. There's plenty here for us to work with this summer. So we're going to read Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Paul says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So Paul is showing us in this passage a picture of what it looks like to faithfully be seekers of Jesus. And when we're faithfully seeking Jesus, we exhibit this kind of communal life as we live with one another. We are embedded in a Christian community as followers of Jesus. Christian community isn't some voluntary option like joining the Kiwanis Club. When you are a Christian, you are called into the body of Christ. I am a brother or a sister. The only question is, what kind of brother or sister will I be? Will I be a compassionate one or an insensitive one? Will I be a patient brother or an impatient brother? Will you be a humble sister or a self-absorbed sister in the Lord? Because you are embedded in this Christian community, you are regularly facing and encountering people on the same path and the same journey that you are on. And that means I cannot just stop participating in the body of Christ. Think about this. The church is God's divinely appointed means to remind you that you follow Jesus, to hold you accountable in your following of Jesus, and to encourage and equip you in your following of Jesus. That is the role of the church in your life. Jesus said this remarkable thing to Peter and the other disciples. He says, "I will build my church, and here are the keys to the kingdom. I'm giving them to you." And then he said this, "Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Think of the responsibility that God is giving the church. The power. He's saying, church, when you function as you are intended to function, in the power of God and by his Spirit, standing on the word of truth, what you bind on earth, that will be bound in heaven. And what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I really believe the church is God's divinely appointed means of substantiating faith in believers' lives on this earth. And we're a part of that. We're participating in that right now. And so we can't just stop belonging. We can't just stop participating when I get annoyed at the differences of my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I can't change other people either, right? That's what we'd really like to see happen. You and I are different. Those differences create some friction, so why don't you change already? Now, we know that that isn't going to work up here, but that doesn't stop our hearts from desiring it, maybe even working towards that, maybe even being resentful when we don't see those changes happen in a person's life. But as you can see from Colossians 3, Paul has a different remedy. So look at verse 13. Zero in on verse 13. Just look at that very first phrase. That's all we're going to study this morning. Paul continues verse 13 by saying, "bearing with one another." Bearing with one another. So think about this now. Paul tells this church to clothe themselves with these five characteristics of compassion and kindness and humility, meekness and patience, then he keeps on going, saying, clothe yourself also with this quality of bearing with one another. You could restate that by saying, putting up with one another. Or take the Brian's Amplified version, endure one another's differences. Endure one another. Now, if you notice, that fits really nicely, that last characteristic of the five in verse 12. Look at that last characteristic. What does it say? It says patience, right? When you're patient with another person, you are bearing with them, you are enduring with them. So it's quite possible that Paul's trying to explain in more detail what patience looks like in the body of Christ. And when I'm patient with somebody, I'm going to endure with them. I'm going to bear with them and their differences. Now, when I said that bearing with one another and then putting up with another, I could see a little smirk on some of your faces, because there's a way of thinking about that image in a very grumpy, frustrated way, right? Okay, sure, I'll put up with you, but you still annoy me, and I'm not happy with you, and why don't you change already, right? We can endure somebody that way. Certainly, that's not what Paul has in mind. In fact, I think in Paul's parallel passage in Ephesians, now just a quick side note, there is a remarkable parallel between what Paul says in Ephesians and what Paul says in Colossians. And so just keep your finger in Colossians 3 and flip back to Ephesians chapter 4, just a few pages back, probably not even 10 pages. Ephesians chapter 4, and listen to what Paul said in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Look at what he says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. He goes, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. That's been our aim, right? This whole time in Colossians. How do I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord? Now he starts saying how in verse 2. Look at verse 2. With all humility and gentleness, with patience. Okay, that sounds familiar. And then he says this, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love. So notice how I'm supposed to bear with my brother or sister. I'm to bear with them in love. Now, there's certainly a grit your teeth aspect to love. Love is not these just fleeting emotions. There is a determination. There is a commitment in our love for one another. But it's more than that. Love is also includes joy. It includes goodwill. It includes desire. And so that when I bear with a brother or a sister, I am to do so lovingly, meaning I want to do so gladly. I want to do so with joy in my heart towards that person. That's how I want to bear with them. So yes, it requires sacrifice and work, but we also want to do so with joy in our hearts as we live together with one another. Now, I just want to touch on a couple things here, and that defies conventional wisdom, and it's incredibly hard to do. Let's just quick touch on the conventional wisdom part. What's conventional wisdom? Well, we've kind of touched on some of it already. Well, you could leave, right? That's something we do when things get a little heated. Sadly, some do. Some walk away from their brothers and sisters because the friction created by those differences is too much for them to endure. Others might impose change on others, right? We feel justified in doing that. Especially when we think we're in the right and they're in the wrong. We can do that when we moralize our differences. Do you know what I mean when I say we moralize our differences? We take our differences and then we put moral qualities to them. This one's good and right. This one's bad and evil, right? It's wrong to like this kind of music. It's wrong to be that much of a planner. Or it's wrong to be so carefree and spontaneous. And so then you better change to be like me. And then, of course, some of us endure, like the Bible says, but with no love at all. Inside, we're angry, we're resentful, and those feelings just keep growing and growing, where we're really not glad to live together in community. So that's conventional wisdom. So it defies conventional wisdom, yet at the same time, this call to bear with one another in love is incredibly hard. This just doesn't happen all by itself. It happens when the grace of God is at work in you to produce in you the supernatural, Jesus-like quality of loving other people. And where do we get that? Well, again, I'm hoping you're seeing the connection. Think Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 4. As I live my life seeking the things that are above, setting my mind on the things of Christ, where he is seated high and lifted up, as I keep pursuing to know Jesus as my all in all, the supernatural power of God comes and enables me to be the kind of person God is calling me to be. This is not a willpower thing. This isn't a leave this sanctuary gritting your teeth and clenching your fists even harder. This is not that call. This is a call of submitting to the grace and power of Jesus in such a way that as you rest in his grace, as you trust in his provision, you are enabled and empowered to love others this way, bearing with one another in love. It's all about Christ and his work in you. He is the head by which the whole body, nourished and knit together, is kept together. So it's about him. So if you're sitting there thinking, and we'll get into application here in a minute, I'm not very good at bearing with one another in love, don't go home trying harder. Go home, fall on your knees, and plead to God. Go home, seek Jesus' face more and more. Because in the face of Jesus, will you behold the glory of God that transforms you from one degree of glory to the next. That's what you do. Okay. So now what I want to do is I want to talk about how this can actually happen in our church community. What needs to happen in you where you can begin bearing with one another in love? All right, so getting really practical and even personal. So first thing is, remember you're different too. Remember that you're different too. You're strange also, First Baptist. And when we remember that, that helps us bear with the differences of others. We tend to normalize, we moralize our differences, and we normalize ourselves, right? And what I mean by that is we see as our preferences, our skill sets, our traits as normal, and other people's are abnormal, right? And so guess what? If I'm the normal one, and you're the abnormal one, who needs to change? Well, you do, because you're abnormal. Come and change to be like me. And that's a very wrong way of looking at things. So, for example, people who are very organized, very orderly, might get annoyed with their free-spirited and spontaneous brothers and sisters in Christ, and might even be tempted to label them unfairly. Might be called irresponsible or improper, even though they have not acted irresponsibly or improperly. But when we normalize ourselves, we put ourselves at the center, and then we want everybody else to change. Well, guess what? All you scheduled and organized people out there, your spontaneous and casual brothers and sisters are tempted to label you as uptight and disingenuous and contrived. They find you annoying, and they find all your planners annoying, and all the schedules that you want to make annoying. Do you see what I mean? We all contribute to the differences that exist within the body of Christ. And we can more readily endure with one another when we recognize our own style, our own preferences, our own differences rub others too. It's not wrong to be carefree. It's not wrong to be scheduled. God hardwired both of you to be that way to help contribute to the mission of First Baptist Church. It's not wrong for some of you to be moved by traditional songs of the faith, nor is it wrong for some of you to love the modern worship music. What's wrong is putting your preferences at the center and thinking everyone who is different is morally or spiritually inferior. And so we will be able to bear with one another a lot more readily if we recognize that, you know what, I'm different too. Now this leads to my second thought. Differences are meant to be celebrated. Differences are meant to be celebrated. The body of Christ is made up of people who are different on purpose. Our differences are meant to serve our collective mission, to proclaim the glories of Jesus Christ in Taylor County and around the world, and to love each other well, to give the display of what it looks like to be a member of the body of Christ. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And there are many parts, yet one body. And if one member suffers, we all suffer. And God did all of this, brothers and sisters. God did all of this. It was His plan, and it was His idea. And so that means when I encounter somebody who is different from me, or has different perspectives or ideas or passions, instead of that frustrating me, which it does, what I'm supposed to see that is as a gift to the body of Christ. I meant to say, you know what? They bring a perspective that I don't bring. And they have insight that I don't have. And they have skills that I can't contribute. And I am so glad for that. That is God at work. And so rather than seeing that as a problem, I want to see that as a gift to the body of Christ. But you know what? It's really hard to celebrate those differences when I'm all about me. And so I can't be all about me. I need to be about the kingdom of God and live for Him. You know, there's a sense in which, brothers and sisters, we're kind of stuck together. And I like that, to be honest with you. If you lived in a major metropolitan area, there'd be a church like ours every 2 miles. And you know what? You could take your pick. And you could worship. And you know what? As you worship and live in that one church A and someone rubs you the wrong way, well, you can just pick up and move and plant yourself somewhere else and see if you like it there. And you know what? Someone might create a little friction there. Well, you just pick yourself up and plop in a new area. And you know what? There's a sense in which you can't do that here. Now, I'm not trying to suggest in any way, shape, or form that there aren't other churches in the area that can't be a blessing to you. I'm not trying to suggest that. But what I would suggest is that there is a uniqueness to the First FBC. We are unique. We're unique in what we believe. We're unique in our ethos, our culture, and we're unique in the mission that we feel God has called us to. And you know what? There's not a lot around here that embrace the theological convictions of standing for the Word of God, believing that God loves me and accepts me fully, even though I'm a sinner, because of the grace that's been provided through Jesus Christ my Lord. And that the Holy Spirit really is alive and at work in the body of Christ. And that we really are called to love each other the way Jesus has loved us. And we really are called to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to others around us, even though we may not do that as best as we want to. And so what are you going to do when some friction is created between your brother or sister in Christ? What are you going to do? You just going to up and leave? No, we're not going to do that. We're going to bear with one another in love, seeking help from God to love each other well. Now, here's another important consideration, all right? We shouldn't want to be a burden to others. Do you know what I mean when I say that? We shouldn't want others to have to rigorously bear with us, right? The heart of Christ does not arrogantly say, well, this is just who I am. You got to live with it. You got to figure it out, just like the Bible says, bear with me, and I'm going to do this stuff, you know? That's not the heart of Christ. No, that's not the heart of Christ at all. Instead, this is what the heart of Christ does. The heart of Christ wants to be honest and recognize how my unique personality and perspective and ideas and how that impacts other people, and then I want to try to not create that kind of friction. If you are more organized and your small group is filled with carefree, spontaneous people, you might want to, don't be so uptight. Put the schedule away. Just have some fun and enjoy community with one another. Maybe you're more spontaneous and carefree, but you have a board member, you know? Several board members who are more by the book and keeping things on track. Well, don't just say, well, I'm just a late kind of person. You just got to learn to live with that. Don't say, no, I want to do my best to try to accommodate myself to the preferences and skill sets and perspectives of other people. I want to be that towards my brothers and sisters. You know, it reminds me a lot of Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, which reads this: let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Reminds me a lot of Philippians 2, 4. So basically, we want to serve each other well, and one of the ways we serve each other well is that we notice that that these differences exist, and we lovingly accommodate ourselves to one another. We lovingly accommodate ourselves to one another. You know, this is where the problem is. Sometimes we're just oblivious to the fact that our own perspectives, our own styles, our own personality traits, we don't even recognize how that comes in conflict with others, and so when we see that conflict, we just see them as the problem. And that's not a loving thing to do. And so may God create in us a desire to want to be accommodating to our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, I want to say this. This is really important. There are times when we need to confront each other. There are times when we need to have a healthy, honest dialogue about our differences. We need to talk about how our differences create friction and challenge each other. And you know what? Here's the great news. When we are guided by love, rather than that turning into an ugly argument where someone takes needless offense or threatens to leave or holds a grudge, that conversation can turn into a chance to learn more about each other and to serve the body of Christ well. And you know what? When we do that, Jesus looks great. But people can't do that very well. I don't know if you've noticed in your places of work or in your community groups or whatever it might be, the world doesn't do this very well. But when we're living in the power that God supplies to love each other well, and we demonstrate how we can be in unity with one another, we are showing the world that, you know what, there's something to this Jesus character and to this church. And so let's keep doing that. So let me ask you, who are those people God is telling you to bear with in love? And what are those differences that you bring to the body of Christ? What about you and your personality and your characteristics kind of make it difficult for others to accommodate you? So how can you accommodate them? And what worldly ways are you tempted to fix that situation? Are you tempted to run? Are you tempted to fight? Are you tempted to make unreasonable demands? Let's ask God for help. You know, let's make our prayer, God, help us see your great love for us, and then help us live in that love. God, help me see my weaknesses. Help me see how I contribute to the differences in the body of Christ. And then help us create an environment here within the body to bear with each other's differences, and then let us use those differences in such a way that compel and move the mission of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ forward. I think that's a prayer that we should want to pray and pray often. Why don't you stand with me as we close in prayer? Don't forget those questions of the week. I put those in your bulletin just so you can have something to talk about with your friends or with your spouse or with your children, just to keep the content of those sermons going, the content from the Word of God. Remember, we're happy to pray with you after the service if you'd like prayer. Let's close asking God for his help. God in heaven, thank you for our time together. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Thank you that you have created us differently. But God, you also know that we need help to live with the differences that exist among us. And so God, please encourage us in that endeavor. Now bless us as we hear from the Roberts. God, I pray that we might be encouraged and strengthened in our partnership with them, but also then, God, would that compel us even to more ministry here, locally, and then abroad. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed, First Baptist.